Jesus appeared to John and told him to write words to seven churches. Hear these words to the church at Pergamum from Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you are with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comment section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can on the website or the Christ Church app. Today, I'm continuing our series, Letters from Jesus. As we look at the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 3, we see that Jesus appeared to John in a vision while he was exiled on the island of Patmos. And Jesus tells John to write down what he sees and send it to seven particular churches in Asia Minor. Revelation 1:11 reads, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Jesus has particular words to share with each one of these churches. The historical context was a time of persecution and distress. It was a time of upheaval and uncertainty, and believers across the known world were suffering. John was writing to encourage the faithful to resist the demands of emperor worship and other forms of idolatry, as well as immorality around them. As we read it today, we recognize the book of Revelation is a distinctive kind of literature, apocalyptic. The word means to reveal. It is a kind of writing that is highly symbolic and not always easy to understand. And yet, Revelation's overarching theme is one of hope and encouragement for Christ followers in the midst of persecution, turmoil, and challenging times. Post hope in the chat. Are there times and occasions today when we need to seek wisdom in the midst of challenging times, turmoil, and uncertainty in order to make decisions about what God wants us to do in our work or careers, on the job or at school, in our marriage or with our family, among our friends and colleagues, in our community, and among our brothers and sisters in Christ at church? Is it helpful to have a guiding presence, a standard, a source to help us make everyday decisions? Yes. Yes, it is helpful. And we Christians are thankful for the scriptures that have been handed down to us. We understand that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are inspired of God. God breathed are the words, Paul uses in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is, he says, God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We also celebrate that Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, the living God who came to dwell among us. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Jesus lived, died, and was raised back to life. He is alive today. And through our faith in Him, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us today. So we understand these words of Jesus to the seven churches had tremendous meaning to believers then, and they still speak to us today. As we begin looking closely again today, notice in each of His letters, Jesus identifies Himself distinctively. Revelation 2:1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands. Just before that, in Revelation 1:20, Jesus says, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in My right hand and the seven of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Thank You, Jesus, for explaining that further. It's so helpful when the Lord explains in Revelation. Jesus is saying He has authority over the angel of each church who holds the seven stars in His hands. And He is personally familiar and present to each church who walks among the seven gold lampstands. Revelation 2:8, to the angel in the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of Him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. What does Jesus want us to understand? He is the Eternal One, the first and the last. He is the victorious One who died and came to life again. Revelation 2:12, our text for today, the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of Him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He comes with truth and grace. His Word has power that is sharp, effective, and it accomplishes its purpose. Jesus wanted them and us to understand He has authority and power because of who He is and what He has done. And He wanted them and us to recognize that, to know that. For the person facing a spiritual, emotional, relational, or physical battle, there is tremendous help available in our relationship with Jesus. The more we understand about Him, the more we can align our hearts and minds and lives with Him, the more impact He has. He is the One who comes with power from on high. Amen? Amen. Next, we notice Jesus initially commends the church at Pergamum. Post commends in the chat. Revelation 2:13, I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to My name. Pergamum was located 65 miles north of Smyrna. A great university was found there with a massive library of some 200,000 books. As the capital city of Asia Minor, it was filled with beautiful palaces and pagan temples. Taking center stage was a massive altar to Zeus, the god of all gods. Pergamum was also known for its temple in honor of Asclepius, the pagan god of healing. Sick people came to the temple from vast distances, hoping to be healed. All the pagan rites of antiquity were practiced there. Pergamum combined a toxic mix of political power, pagan ritual, and Greek philosophy mixed with Caesar worship. Every citizen was expected to once a year offer incense and to declare Caesar is Lord. No Christian could do that in good conscience. Thus, the stage was set for all-out spiritual conflict. When Jesus says that Satan has his throne there, he means Satan has found a place where he can exercise diabolical influence over an entire region. Through some combination of idol worship and sensual pleasure, Satan had significant influence over that region. Does that happen today? Can Satan have significant influence in places? I think he can, particularly if we humans invite him. Jesus said of Satan, he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And by our actions and our permissions, we can invite him in. There is a Holy Spirit from God, and there are other spirits from the enemy. We should take that biblical truth at face value and not mess around. Those who do mess around with the things of the enemy, they have stories. They have experiences. When we identify with and stick close to Jesus, the scripture reminds us our enemy has no power. So Jesus says, I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. Jesus affirms their love and loyalty. You remain true to my name. Over time, we realize Jesus has many names. Messiah, Anointed One, Master, Savior, Lord, Holy One, Risen One. And these names help us to more fully understand his unique place as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we face our everyday trials or battles, because we know him, we can lift up our hearts and minds and call on the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus continues with the church at Pergamum, Revelation 2:13. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city. Revelation 2:13. You did not renounce your faith, even in the face of persecution and death. These people had seen terrible persecution in a way that it exists in some parts of the world today, and had not faltered. Lord, may we never renounce our faith in you. May we point to Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords when the world says that is too exclusionary. May we point to Jesus as Savior, the righteous and holy one who lived, died, and rose again to provide forgiveness, salvation, and assurance for all who trust in him when the world says, we don't need a Savior. We don't need salvation. We're doing just fine following and serving the gods of our own making. May we point to Jesus as the Holy One, the Righteous One, God incarnate who came to earth to show us love and provide for us righteousness, holiness, and peace through his perfect sacrifice on the cross, when the world scoffs at this gospel of salvation and declares it unnecessary, outdated, and obsolete. Jesus commends the church at Pergamum for remaining true, for remaining faithful in the face of Satan's influence and even the threat of death. Oh Lord, we pray that passion and fire in the face of difficulty could be said of us and our church. As we look further at this letter, Jesus eventually admonishes the church at Pergamum. He has some corrective things to share with this body of believers in the first century. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Jesus is pointing to the Old Testament story in the book of Numbers in which a prophet named Balaam encouraged Balak, the king of Moab, to entice the Israelites to sin by practicing idolatry and sexual immorality. In calling his people Israel to be separate and unique from the nations around them, Almighty God commanded them not to worship pagan idols, not to practice sexual immorality. These prohibitions were part of the Jewish worldview of that day and continue to inform and impact our Christian worldview today. We understand today an idol is anything worshiped or revered instead of God. And we have many of them: money, sex, power, entertainment, celebrity, fame, to name a few. And we also understand that though sex and sexuality is celebrated as one of God's greatest gifts to humanity, its practice outside of the confines of a committed marriage relationship between a man and a woman misses the mark of God's highest will for our lives. That's been the Judeo-Christian understanding for over 2,000 years, derived from Scripture and affirmed by the church. But apparently, some in the church at Pergamum were trying to lead persons into compromising practices with idols and into sexually immoral actions. And Jesus called it out. He continued in Revelation 2:15, "Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans." We don't know a lot about the Nicolaitans. Like Balaam of the Old Testament, the Nicolaitans of the New Testament were guilty of encouraging compromise with the world in terms of idolatry and sexual immorality. In their teachings, people were being led astray. Jesus had commended, remember, the Ephesians in their letter, Revelation 2:6, "You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate," he said. Apparently in Pergamum, they were allowing these practices, and Jesus was calling them out. Revelation 2:16, "Repent, therefore. Otherwise," he says, "I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Repent means to turn around, to change direction, to go the other way. Jesus was calling for bold action. Repent, otherwise I'll come to you and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. From these passages, we understand Jesus cares about what we believe and how we practice our faith in the church. Jesus is calling the church at Pergamum to be bold and to hold fast to their faith and to not tolerate teaching or practices that would lead them astray. Those were meaningful words then. They are meaningful words of warning in every generation. I'm reminded of something John Wesley said in his day about his Methodist movement. He said, "I'm not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist, either in Europe or America, but I am afraid lest they should exist only as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power." And this undoubtedly will be the case unless they hold fast both the doctrine, spirit, and discipline with which they first set out. Doctrine, our core beliefs about God, ourselves, sin, salvation, and Jesus are so important. Spirit, how we welcome and cultivate the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives together. Discipline, how we encourage each other and hold each other accountable to grow in love for God and love for our neighbor. May we hold fast to the doctrine, spirit, and discipline you have provided us, O Lord, through your holy universal church. Lastly, notice that Jesus makes a closing promise to those who are victorious in each of the churches. Post promise in the chat. He makes a promise to each church. To the church at Pergamum, in our text today, he says in Revelation 2:17, to the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. Manna, remember, was bread from heaven the people of God lived off of in the desert as they headed to the promised land. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven. Here he offers believers hidden manna from God. He also gives a white stone with a new name written on it. When we resist the devil and experience victory in this life, we can look forward to one day being in the presence of Jesus in heaven. He will know us and we will know him. It will be quite a homecoming. These believers in the church at Pergamum were facing tremendous hardships, but Jesus encouraged them in the face of their trials, and they needed that. And likewise, he admonished them to repent and turn away from the temptations all around them. They needed to hear that too. That's what love does. Encourages and admonishes, commends and corrects. May Jesus give you hope and encouragement in the face of your trials and temptations as well. He is the one who knows us. He knows the world, and he has come to help us be victorious in our battle against the enemy. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, loving Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who gave himself up for our sin and salvation. The more we understand of who he is and what he has done, the more we love him and the more we want to serve and follow him. Help us learn to follow well and to avoid the harmful pitfalls. There are temptations and traps. The enemy is always trying to trip us up. Give us wisdom, O Lord, and the Holy Spirit power to discern the subtle teachings that might lead us astray. Lord, we're grateful for all the ways that you look out for and care for us and help us to hold fast to our faith. May we honor you by loving you and others well and sharing your good news with everyone. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to pray for you. And thank you for your generosity. Your online gifts are helping us to care for and reach new people for Jesus and his kingdom. You can use the app. You can go on the website anytime or mail them in. That works too. Hey, be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Jesus is the one with the sharp, double-edged sword who comes to commend and correct you. We need both. For now, what sharp word do you need to hear from Jesus?
So, I took up fencing.
What?
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it sounds cool, but the neighbors made me put it back.
Why would they make you put it? This week, we're starting a workshop titled Simple Life Pauses. You'll learn sustainable and accessible life skills that will help you take a pause from the noise and busyness of the world.
If you have a hobby, but your house and your walls can't hold another item you make, please join us to share your hobby in the service of others. If you can only cut or glue or stuff, we need you too. Our homemade items are shared with those in the community who need to feel loved.
Full Circle Worship is meeting tonight. Full Circle is an interactive experience beginning with worship and ending in small groups. You won't want to miss it.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.